Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man with the greatest of all time, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Ooh, I'm great, thank you.
Man, I'm excited to be with you today. It was a huge weekend if you were a wrestling fan or a sports fan. Of course, now we know who's going to the Super Bowl. I can't believe it came down to this, but here we are. The Eagles are playing the Chiefs. And I got to know, Nate, are you pulling for Jalen Hurts? Are you pulling for Patrick Mahomes? What do you expect?
For Patrick Mahomes, who played hurt, unlike someone else didn't, whose name we'll probably never hear again.
Yeah.
Hello. Who plays? I mean, the kid's unreal, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
He's unreal.
Well, let's talk about the calls, though. I mean, there were some pretty once in a lifetime
terrible calls all weekend long. How about the block on LeBron James?
Yeah.
By Tatum. Give me a break. Oh, Jesus. Officiators, it seems like the bigger the event, the more they want to get involved.
Rick, I can't help but notice if you're watching over on video on YouTube, and if you haven't subscribed to the channel, you should. Are you wearing a wedding ring today? Do you have some news you want to break with us this morning?
No, it's worth.
Okay. All right.
You ever seen it?
I've seen it, but it doesn't feel like you always wear it on that finger. Maybe
I always do. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I keep it on the same hand as the Rolex.
Yeah. You got to show off the bling together.
You got to get the bling. If you did, why spread it out? Right.
Well, I'll tell you, I think everybody thinks the Chiefs are probably going to be a favorite this.
They're not though.
Well, I'm just based on the experience of, I mean, this is what, the third Super Bowl in the last 4 years for the Chiefs or something crazy like that?
I think it's three out of four. Yep.
It's unbelievable the run they've been on. But I'm pulling for the Eagles. I want Jalen Hurts and the rest of those Alabama kids on that Eagles team.
You're pulling for Kelly. Give me a break.
Well, that doesn't suck. And shout out to producer Steve here, also from Philadelphia.
Steve.
Yeah. Well, listen, hey, let's talk about something that we're all familiar with, that we're all excited about. The Royal Rumble is now in the rearview mirror. Rick, I don't know if you got a chance to see the whole pay-per-view start to finish, but I think it's one of the best WWE pay-per-views I remember. Maybe the best one in like 10 years or more.
I have to be honest with you. I did not see. I've seen the last 10 minutes of both, the last 15 minutes of both Rumbles. I was grand marshaling.
Oh yeah. Well, listen, before we talk about the Rumble,
yeah,
I have to admit I'm not from Tampa. I'm not from that area of Florida. I'm not familiar with it, but I know that Gasparilla is a big deal and you were the grand marshal and yeah, I saw
it was huge.
The press coverage for you down there.
Yeah.
What was your experience like?
It's a calmer version of Mardi Gras.
Okay.
But man, I mean, they celebrated hard. It was, to be honest with you, I was exhausted. I didn't drink at all on the float or during the parade at all. But then when the parade was over, it just a long day. It was a lot of fun, rewarding. People really take it serious to get dressed up like pirates. And I looked over, my internist was running down the road going, Rick, Rick.
I love it. I'm glad you guys had fun. Of course, it's a big celebration. More than 100 years old.
It's phenomenal. And literally thousands of boats out in the intercoastal. Literally. Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, the Royal Rumble is what everybody's talking about. I think this is about as good as WWE has been. We saw the surprise entrant of Booker T, who got a nice little ovation from that hometown Texas crowd. Mm-hmm. Well, Houston, San Antonio, we'll round it up. But they were excited to see Booker T. I was excited to see him do the old spin-a-rooney. It was a cool moment for Booker T and all of his fans. But the real story was Gunther coming in at number one, breaking all the previous records, outlasting anybody in Royal Rumble history. And then number 30 was no surprise. They had announced it ahead of time. Cody Rhodes comes in. And after the Rumble seemingly was over, it was almost like they had a singles match where they're still just trying to throw each other over the top rope.
Yeah.
Phenomenal performance and a crazy pop for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were nervous going into this. Hey, what if they want a surprise? What if they want some of these other rumors? It might be Stone Cold. It might be The Rock. It might be Sami Zayn. And instead it was Cody Rhodes, but man, they were fired up for it. I'm happy for Cody. This is going to be a fun run.
And we picked the same person for both.
Yes.
We both picked Rhea and we both picked Cody. So
absolutely. Rhea looked fantastic.
Yeah.
She went on Monday Night Raw as we're recording this last night, as most people are listening to this, and made it known she wants revenge from that pandemic WrestleMania.
Yep.
She wants a rematch. And I think this will be the first ever ladies rematch at WrestleMania. You know, there's some great men's trilogies. You know, you go back and you take a look at the Rock Austin stuff, or you take a look at the John Cena stuff with the Rock, but we've got a big time rematch now with the Queen and Rhea Ripley. I expect that might be the Saturday night main event of WrestleMania.
It's gotta be one of the main events.
Yeah.
A or B. It's going to be spectacular. Rhea is just matured so much. I mean, God, that match they had with in front of no people a couple years ago was fantastic. I can only imagine. You know, I mean, the Queen has just gotten herself into, she's in a place where she just plain and simply is the best worker in the business, in the company. And I'm sure that she and Rhea will tear the joint down. If I were the guy, I wouldn't want to follow them. And I would hope that they'd be on last.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they will be. It does feel like that era where they're trying to, you know, spread the love with those main event spots. So hopefully they are the main event. I would imagine it would be Saturday and Roman Cody would be Sunday. I don't have any inside information. I'm just speculating. But I am excited to see it. I do think that Rhea Ripley is a much bigger star now than she was even just a few years ago.
Phenomenal. I just had a nice talk with her in Philadelphia. Yeah, I'll tell you the what though, as much as I enjoyed that group she's with, which is, you know, worked out to be really nice.
Yeah.
I really I'm really happy that she is you know, going out on her own now again. I like that. But I mean, win, lose, or draw, I don't know whether she'll stay with that group or not, but she is such a great singles attraction.
Oh, for sure.
And she and the Queen will just tear it down, my God. I mean, I'm so excited for both of them.
I'm excited for it too. Of course, the rest of WrestleMania is going to start to take shape. We saw some other things that looked like they might turn into matches at the Royal Rumble. Maybe it's going to be Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. Maybe it's going to be Logan Paul and Seth Rollins. We'll have to stay tuned and see how
about that spot with Logan Paul?
How about that, man? It was one of the craziest spots I remember in a Rumble. I know it's happened a few times before, once in an Elimination Chamber way back when with Punk and Kofi, and then recently NXT. But for that big a crowd, that big a moment, you know, wrestling a lot of times, especially in WWE, is about the moments. And that's a moment that I think people will talk about for a long time.
Oh, sure.
Ricochet.
It got my attention.
Yeah, for sure.
And the way that Rhea took out, who was the last girl she took out? Over the top?
Let me check and see. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Was it Liv Morgan?
Oh, Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, okay.
No, wait, Nia Jax got dumped out by a lot of other folks. She came in at number 30. Whatever it is, it's Rhea Ripley and it's Cody Rhodes. Punch their ticket for some title matches. But man, what everybody's talking about, and I'm curious if you got to see it, it's the best storyline WWE has done in a long time. Some have been saying ever. It would be really hard for me to find one that I could say is better, maybe. But maybe the Hogan Savage Mega Power stuff way back when. But there's so much nuance in this Bloodline story.
Yeah.
After the match, the post-match angle, the pop when Sami Zayn hit Roman Reigns with that chair was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And now, of course, everybody wants to know what's going to happen with the Bloodline. Are the Usos splitting up? I think there's some speculation that, hey, since the next pay-per-view Elimination Chamber in February is in Montreal, maybe it's going to be Roman versus Sami there. We've been talking a lot about Sami here on the show in recent weeks. What'd you think of that reaction and the fallout?
I loved it. And what I like about the most, it's unpredictable. I mean, you knew something was going to happen, but you didn't know what.
Right.
Yeah. I watched that promo with it in Philadelphia, which was very entertaining. And I mean, Sami Zayn, he's too amazing. He's good. And that really defined him the other night doing that. I mean, letting taking a shot, and he hit him hard, so it looked good. And
yes,
because, you know, Roman's a brick shithouse anyway, so that didn't hurt him. But the way he hit him, as hard as he hit him, it really, you know, people stood up and went, "Holy shit!" You know, man, that's what it's all about. And the WWE right now is in such a hot position where everything's clicking on such a positive note. My God, it's just insanity. Everything, it just boom, boom, boom. It's incredible. It's going to be, and God, what bigger stage? Forget about, it's not just WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania in Los Angeles.
Yes.
That just makes it just makes the stage even bigger. I'm so happy for the Queen. I mean, this will be her third main event WrestleMania. I think it should have been the main event in Dallas when she won the title between Becky and Sasha.
Yeah.
But to be this is her third WrestleMania main event, right? Steve went on after last year, but.
Well, they were still calling it a co-main event, but as far as going on last, we think this will be the second time she's gone on last, which is an honor you yourself never even got to do. And now the Queen might.
I ain't never been on last. Jesus Christ.
You talked about how strong WWE has been. Triple H actually tweeted out last night how the Royal Rumble made history. It was the largest audience in Royal Rumble history as far as viewership. And it was also the all-time Royal Rumble gate record at over 7.7 million sponsorship revenue.
That's just at the gate, right?
Yeah, 7.7 just at the gate. Merchandise sales was up 135% from last year, which was also a record. The largest audience in Rumble history, sponsorship up 200%, over 200 million video views across the platforms. It's WWE is enjoying more success right now than ever before. It's funny because, you know, there's a lot of tribalism in wrestling fandom. And if you like AEW, you must hate AEW or WWE or vice versa. But there's no debate right now. WWE is clicking on all cylinders, man.
Oh, they're not missing a beat. And I don't even hear people talk about AEW. And I'm pretty easy to find. That makes sense. I watch it. But when the WWE gets themselves on a roll like this, it just seems like everything else just pales in comparison.
Well, AEW did have a really good rating last week. They did over 1 million viewers, the first time they've hit that mark in several months. It wound up being a tribute show main event with Mark Briscoe making his AEW or really Turner television debut against Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
I know we both think a lot of Jay Lethal. What an emotional moment that was. A really special moment in wrestling history. And it's a great time to be a fan right now, man. I can't wait to see.
Oh, yeah. I'm not taking anything away from AEW. It's just when wrestling is clicking like this and between Roman and the Queen and the stuff with Becky and Bayley is really good. I mean, and Sami Zayn and the Usos. I mean, these kids have all had, they've all been on top. You know, Rhea kind of, I mean, she'd been on top, but not like she is now. I mean, she just put herself in a whole new position, and I'm sure she's just overwhelmed with excitement just at the opportunity to be there. Like I said, it's Los Angeles. My God, you know, that the word LA, and it was right in the entertainment capital of the world. And it's already sold out, I think, both nights. So,
yeah.
And I can't wait to get there to watch it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. And how about this for a little piece of trivia? A Rhodes and a Flair are main eventing WrestleMania in 2023.
Man, I never thought of it like that.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. I tweeted last night, Cody, your dad would be proud, man. Me too. Because that's the only chip that Dusty, is what Cody calls it, the only chip that Dusty never got.
Yeah.
And that was the WWE belt. So hopefully Cody can pull it off, man. Even if he doesn't, he's gone there. He's gotten there. He's got plenty of time.
He made it to WrestleMania no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, that's rare air.
It don't matter who wins. It's just getting there and being on top.
Yes.
I swear, number one is the level of performance, which you know will be outstanding by both Roman and
Cody
and Rhea and Ashley. I'm Rhea and Charlotte. I've just, like I said, I think Charlotte's the best worker in the business right now because she brings so much athleticism to her, to it. And because she's 5'10 or 5'11 and strong and just beautiful. And I'm a gushingly proud father.
Well, one of the things
I was over the main event. So there you go.
We're going to do something kind of fun. We haven't done it in a few weeks here on the program. Ask Nate. Let's jump into it. We got tons of questions. Here's one that I know the answer to, but I don't think it's what people are expecting you to say. Instagram wrestling historian says, what was your favorite Kurt Hennig rib?
Oh, probably the best one I ever saw. I personally didn't laugh at it, but Kurt took, let me tell you what it is. There was a guy that was, I can't remember what, you'll know the story. I don't want to mention his name, but there was a kid traveling with Kurt Angle that did something stupid. And so Kurt took his bag off the carousel at the airport at baggage claim and put it in the trunk of a stranger's car that drove off. No gear, no clothes, nothing. In the middle of a tour.
My goodness.
And that, I couldn't help but laugh, but that's pretty harsh.
Pretty stiff one, yeah.
I have seen guys, have you ever seen, I'm not talking about tire chains, but I'm talking about the rope chain like this thick.
Yes.
I have seen any chain people's bags to the coat racks in the locker room.
Oh, man.
No. Not to mention walking around the room and putting everybody to sleep inside. Oh, all of a sudden you look back over your shoulder and everybody's like this.
Oh, was he H-bombing? Was he putting house?
Kurt? No. Are you kidding? No, not Kurt. Oh, God, yeah.
When do you remember that becoming a thing? People halcyoning each other in wrestling.
What's that?
When do you remember that being a thing? People dosing guys in wrestling.
Well, I don't remember them dosing guys as much as I know the guys got on it for sleep.
Oh, I see.
On your 70-day tours, I mean, they were primarily used as a sleeping aid.
Right.
To my knowledge. I mean, I did hear some stories, but that GHB was the same thing. That I used to sell that stuff in the gym, in my Gold's gyms, and all of a sudden it was off the market because it was typically used as a fat burner. But in overdose on it, man, you fell down like you were a limp rag.
Wow,
you know it is. Just it needs to be. It's always going to be someone that thinks that something's funny that's not.
Right.
I mean, Kurt never did anything to be malicious. He just had fun laughing. I mean, you know, I can think of a lot more malicious things that have happened in the business that have been hurtful besides that. But that's why the halcyon came to be. That guys were sleeping with him.
Right.
Because the schedule was so damn tough. 70 days out. And the WWE was the same time that I was gone, like 70 or 80 days or more than that for me. But the WWE tours in the 80s, man, they were gone.
Yeah.
Brian Blair Halcyon, or Brian Knobs Halcyon himself so bad that Tony drove over him at the gas station, at the Shell station on West Shore.
Drove over him.
Yeah, because he fell down and she couldn't see him. While he was pumping gas.
So wait a minute, help me understand. Brian Knobs is pumping gas, falls down.
He's pumping gas, and he digging the halcyon, anticipating on the way home he would just crash when he got there, right?
Yes.
Well, he fell down. She ran over his foot.
Oh my gosh! It's the best.
All he wanted was get home and crash and fall asleep, right? It hit him while he was pumping gas.
It's tremendous.
Only Brian, right?
Oh, gosh. Kevin Sharp wants to know, could Rick talk about Paul Jones, the wrestler, those of us of a certain generation only know him as a manager, but he always seemed to be at or near the top of the card on old wrestling posters.
He was. Paul was a very good wrestler. He was on top when I got to the Carolinas, and he stayed on top for a long time. He was really good. You know, once again, he was a guy that stayed in one territory. I think he might have gone to Atlanta a little bit. I think he worked in Florida, but pretty much as a southern-based guy, he did very well for himself.
Trevor Owens wants to know, besides Cena, what wrestlers did the most for charities?
Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulk was doing Make-A-Wishes, God, in the, you know, back in the, I don't know whenever it started, but I can remember in the 90s, Hulk would do a Make-A-Wish every night. Every arena, everywhere.
Ronnie wants to know, or I'm sorry, Aaron at Ronnie Saltz says, if you could turn back the clock and join the WWE at SummerSlam 88, as previously discussed, would you do it? And if yes, do you think we'd still get the iconic Rumble win at 92?
I would not have gone if I could turn back the clock. I'm glad I stayed. It all worked out. Looking back on it now, there's a lot of things I could have done differently. But ultimately, I nothing's guaranteed. I don't know. I'm glad I stayed. All I knew back then was the Horsemen and having fun, and I don't know whether 92 would have taken place or not. It might have if I'd gotten over. Your buddy Bruce Pritchard didn't think I did, so I don't know. Better ask Bruce that question.
Stefan Davis.
But I'm the first to admit it, so there you go.
Stefan wants to know, what was Ric Flair's first reaction walking into the Impact Zone when he went to Impact Wrestling? Of course, as a reminder, this is a soundstage inside Universal Studios. Of course, once upon a time, WCW used to do a bunch of television tapings down there at Disney, and I'm sure you had been in the area before, and you certainly done your fair share of studio wrestling, but when you go back to TNA, it had been a long time since you had done something like that. What'd you think of the Impact Zone?
It was okay. You know, once again, it's it's hard to, you know, what we are is we're a ride. In other words, you buy a ticket for the park, and we're part of the park. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So sometimes you get enthusiastic wrestling fans. Sometimes you get people that are just there out of curiosity. It's a difficult crowd to really get a read on in terms of whether you think you're over or not. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I didn't like that because you could just tell someone were going, is this really wrestling? I mean, just part of the tour. Like, I want to go ride Dumbo the Elephant. I want to go to TNA. It makes sense.
No, I'm being serious. I want to go ride Dumbo the Elephant. I want to go to TNA.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
It's hilarious.
The sliding giraffe. I mean, I don't know how we fit in, but it was. I mean, it's always there are fans there that were really legitimate fans, but you know, 90% of the crowd just people walking down the street to go, hey, there's wrestling tonight.
So let me ask, there's some news, some park news, if you will. Splash Mountain has closed, and some idiots have started to sell cups of water on eBay saying, this is water from Splash Mountain, and they're selling it for like $1,000, something stupid.
I'm sure.
The question has become, hey, well, if they're closing old Splash Mountain down, what about old Space Mountain? Are they closing
that down anytime soon? Never have. It's the most famous ride in the history of Disneyland. What do you think?
Well,
you don't think Pirates of the Caribbean is more exciting than Space Mountain, do you?
Jesus, I've heard a lot of people were smiling when they got off Space Mountain. I don't know. Peter D on Twitter wants to know, hi Rick, have your drinking tastes changed over the years? Can you tell us what you would drink if you were having a night on the town? Thanks.
I would drink 3 Michelob Ultras, maybe 4, depending on if I'd worked out that day. And then I would go, I'm just totally off the red wine right now. I would just go to vodka. Actually, someone told me the other day that tequila is the healthiest form of liquor. So I drank tequila for a day and said, no, I can't do that. So back to the vodka, soda, cranberry, splash of lime. and a bottle of still water.
Yeah, vodka's always been your drink, though, has it not?
It has. Yeah. I've always gotten back to it. Yeah. It's kind of like you. How you ever got off the Crown Royal, I'll never know.
Yeah.
Two guys in my life I figured would never get off Crown Royal are you and Jim Ross.
Jim Ross is still on it. He had a birthday earlier this month, and I sent him a bottle to his house.
Oh, he still drinks? Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, he loved that.
Yeah, he's still into it.
Yep.
Jesse Ace wants to know, Nate, what's the best way to avoid a hangover in the morning? Stick to drinking clear liquor, dark liquor, just wine. And what are your thoughts on mixing alcohol throughout the night? Can you mix it up or just stick with one all night?
Hell, I mix it up all the time.
Yeah.
I'll drink a pickleback shots now once in a while with Jameson. I've never done that.
Why are you doing that? That caught me off guard when you started talking.
I don't know. Because someone just said, you want one? I never had one. And I said, and it's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, pickle juice, going back to the old days, I would buy a bottle of pickles at 3 o'clock in the morning and just drink all the juice.
Really?
Something to put out the fire from all the booze. Yeah.
Oh,
That or a foot long grilled sausage with triple onions, mustard, ketchup, jalapenos. Anything to put out the fire up, but I don't get hungover. You know that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know, when I smoke a whole joint with Mike, that'll slow me down a little bit.
Yes, it does. Slows everybody down.
Oh, wow. By the way, I've got your wife for sleeping aids.
Well, I can't wait for her to have those.
Woo choose. You'll be able to leave the house and come back and she won't even know you're gone.
She becomes a little more agreeable after one of those.
Yeah. You can probably drive up here for the day if you give her two of them.
I'm for it. Matt Carter says, world-class Mid-South and Houston weren't in the NWA. Why did the NWA allow you to defend the title regularly in those territories? Some great angles and matches for those territories.
Because Bill Watts just approached him, and actually Bill's going to be a guest on our show next week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, not to interrupt, not to change the subject, and not to go back to Mr. Bischoff.
Uh-oh.
To clarify, he will be on the show next week to clarify who hired me and what position Mr. Bischoff was in when Bill hired me. He actually sent me a text and said all Bischoff did was spend the $85 million that I asked him to give me.
Mm. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. So I can guarantee you that Eric was not on speaking terms with Vince McMahon. Bill was, and Bill called. I had a long discussion with him. I think I told you that 2 weeks ago. Would have had him today, but he just had surgery. So I hope he's healthy.
Okay, yeah.
I hope he's healthy, but he'll be on next week with us, or in the very near future.
Yeah, soon.
To finally put to rest who hired me. And who was running the company.
Well, we know the answer there.
Yeah.
The real Phil Anderson says, everyone talks about chemistry between wrestlers, but you and referee Tommy Young had amazing chemistry in some of your biggest matches. Can you give us your thoughts on Tommy Young?
The greatest referee that ever lived. And here's what people don't understand. And I am guilty of this. If I'm wrestling an hour, I need to surround myself with a guy that hasn't done that and is not used to it and has never, or one, a guy that's maybe just done it once or twice and you have to do it on a regular basis. You want all the help you can get. And trust me, a very good referee, especially in the old days, because we could use them as opposed to now, was so helpful in getting through a match. Tommy Young deserved to be in his own wing in the Hall of Fame. He was that good. I can remember when he broke his neck in a match with Tommy Rich. And I've never seen a guy so dejected in my life to have to walk away from the business, except maybe me.
Well said.
Yeah, Tommy was great. Unbelievable. Champ, what should I do now? Push me. I can't push you. Tommy, push me right now. We need a pop from the crowd. Yes, I'll take a bump. That's so you can look back at it. Push the referee. what's the guy's name that asked me? I was wrestling Brody one night. Not Brody, but I can't remember someone he was booking. What was Brody's friend's name that booked Kansas City? Oh, God. Anyway, he said, boy, that's cheap heat for the referee to have a referee push you. I said, yeah, you go out there and wrestle this guy for an hour. I think it was Rufus. Let me know what, get back to me on how that worked for you, will you? I can't think of who that was. He was booking Kansas City. But I'm telling you, to wrestle an hour is one thing. To wrestle an hour with a guy that's never done it,
right,
and it's not built to do it in terms of endurance, is a nightmare, man. You want all the help you can. And trust me, Tommy Young, Mike Chioda, guys, I mean, just, oh, God. I've had, you know, some really great referees, but it's not a job that it just be taken lightly, especially when you're going, well, not with the WWE, because you know how much pressure they put on you, man. You got the earpiece and tell me to do this, tell me to do that. 10 minutes left, 1 minute and 30 seconds. I mean, it takes a special kind of person to be good at it. And my hat's off. I mean, the referees are a very important part of the match. Yeah, I had a guy one time say, WWE, and I'm not going to mention his name. He was whining about something in the match, and I thought to myself. So I said, what's wrong? He said, well, that makes me look bad. I said, what? Since when are you supposed to look good? You know, it's the two people in the ring that are wrestling. Boy, did I get beat up on that for that comment? Referees, you got to show them respect. Okay. No kidding. I thought, did he actually say that doesn't make me look good? Yeah. To me? I said, really? Yeah. Okay. It's like Mick Foley saying, are we going to work through the break? Yeah, we are. Because I don't trust the camera people here to turn the light back on. I said, Mick, you don't actually believe these guys are functioning at a full level here, do you?
Right.
And we're going to wrestle right through the break.
Just in case.
Just in case. I've been out there thinking the red light was on. Or we weren't filming, and we were live for 3 minutes because the red light didn't work.
Oh, Lord.
How many times you can throw a guy to the floor? Oh, wait till break comes. He got back into it and throw him. Stay on the floor, damn it. God dang. Woo.
Joe Gwynn wants to know, did you have a problem with always losing? It seems like you lose every match. It's because you're a god of putting people over and selling and making people. But did you hate losing?
No, I didn't mind losing at all.
Right.
Well, I hated not getting paid enough to lose.
There you go.
To lose appropriately. I'm telling you, winning and losing is overrated. It's what you send the memory. It's what you send home with the audience. I mean, I'm living proof of that. I wouldn't even be on the show today. We were talking about my win-loss record.
Right.
It's making the people you work with look good. And just wanting to be the best and have the best match possible. That's what matters.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just going back to, I think I heard, I was going to make a statement today. Because I feel very strongly about this. Because I've got myself from listening to other podcasts. This is a statement that I firmly believe. I thought about it before I make it. I'm sorry you just got me to that time for that thought process.
Sure.
Unless you are in the locker room around the talent, I mean, and actually get a feel for what's going on inside that building, I don't think people should be allowed to talk about wrestling.
Oh. Now, which part of wrestling? You mean in terms of what they like or don't like, or just the critiques of this guy shouldn't do this or this?
Just a critique.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what's going on inside the door. I saw it for myself the other day, and I said, I told you, I said, you know what? I'm not the man anymore. Was I the man? Yeah. But it's just changed.
Yeah.
And I read all these guys criticizing people from afar. I mean, come on. What, how can you? And I'm guilty of it too. Then I walked back into it. And I go, wow, I rethought, as you know, everything I said. Because if you're not there feeling the emotion and the respect and really understanding the due diligence and the hard work that these kids put in, you really shouldn't be able to crack on them.
Well, I know from just being around and backstage some here and there that I would see stuff online and I would know, well, that's not really true.
Well, no, but I'm not counting you because you actually are, you are part of it.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in terms of, I think sometimes people say, no, oh, they should have done this. This was stupid. They should have done that. There's
difference between you, what I'm saying about you is you report on what you hear and see. I can't remember you critiquing anybody or criticizing. You actually will say things. You have a favorite, which
yes,
everybody's allowed to have. You have an opinion, but you're not saying this is the shits.
Right.
Or, you know, and I feel like, cause if I'm honest enough to say that I feel guilty for some of the comments I've made because I have my favorites. I like to watch and all that. But until you get backstage and see the work and the time these guys put in, and do I think everybody is the world's greatest worker or performer? No, but you cannot take away from the level of commitment and time that these kids put in, and they worked their ass off. Not everyone's going to be great, but God dang it. If you're on Raw or you're on SmackDown or you're on AEW, you're a goddamn wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You're whether you want to be it or not. And whether the marks like you or not, it's none of their goddamn business. You're a wrestler. If you're not, you're lucky enough to be on a roster on live TV or Rampage, you're a wrestler.
Right.
And all the other people sitting on the outside hollering and whining under fake names, just go fuck themselves. They really should. But, you know, just watching them, just picking it apart, da-da-da-da-da. Come on, guys. Give me a break. Make a living doing something else.
To be fair, you're cool with people sharing their opinion, but to come from it from a place of authority maybe is less than.
I have no problem people sharing their opinion, but I think more of their opinion if they're more closely connected, and they're not talking about what something they were good at in the 90s,
right?
Or good at in 10, 20 years ago. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's so easy to sit and watch and critique and criticize and all that. And if you're making money doing that and you're happy with that, I mean, you know, nothing's going to change that. But I really feel like the connection, that if just being there once in a while, being around it, makes you realize that, you know, it's wrestling. It's changed. It's never going to go back to the way it was, but it's still wrestling, and we're brothers, and we are all in a position. We're not all of us are in a position to judge.
Well said.
I mean, opinion, yes, but judgment, no.
I do want to bring up, there was a little bit of a controversy that stirred up on social media last week about a comment you made here on the program a few weeks ago. You were critiquing or sharing your opinion of the Bryan Danielson Takeshita match.
Mm-hmm.
And, someone posted the video and tagged Takeshita, and he quote tweeted it and said, "I have the utmost respect for Ric Flair. It's incredible to me that he mentioned me. I need to practice a lot as I haven't done much chopping in Japan. Thanks for the advice. I would like you to actually teach me if possible. Watch my chops grow from now on." You were critical of his chops, and he's just saying, "Hey man, will you show me how to do it?"
Well, and see, that's just being a man. I was not critical of his work.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with his work. Both those guys can work their ass off. I was just saying, hit him hard.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I respect that. I'll take that all day long. He could have said, "Ric Flair, you're a dumbass." Well, he'd be full of shit. No, does that make sense? Because that's all I could do. I was so limited. And I was charismatic, but if I couldn't chop someone and go woo, man, I was shit out of luck. I sure wasn't doing a half a Corona.
Yes, you were not
until I got to the bar,
or
drop kicking, or leapfrogging, upside down chop woo. That was it.
Don Callis responded to Takeshita's tweet, and he says, "You're already better than him, kid." What do you think of that assertion from Don Callis saying that Takeshita is already better than you?
Who is Dan Callis?
Well, he is a wrestling luminary. He's been the second for Kenny Omega for a few years ago.
Like I said, who's Don Callis?
Okie doke.
Yeah. How many times was he world champion?
I don't believe that happened for him.
Huh?
I don't think that happened for him.
Who'd you wrestle?
No, I'm saying I don't. He was a wrestler for sure. He was in the WWE.
No way. Come on. Doing what? Put up the ring. Come on. Jesus Christ, Don Callis. Give me a break. It's Mr. Flair, Don. Mr. Flair.
let's talk about somebody else.
That's what I mean. Somebody is stepping in trying to get an irrelevant comment. Here's my who is Don Callis? And by the way, if I see a sign autograph next to me and there's no one standing there, then we know who Don Callis is.
I love you for that.
That's the fucking truth. Who's Don Callis? I know Kenny Meg is. He's a big star, but.
All right, let's talk about that because Jake Roberts came out this past week and, or a clip from his show, his podcast, The Snake Pit, where he said that, Kenny Omega was a better wrestler than you and Shawn Michaels. And I know that certainly styles have changed and wrestling has changed, but Jake Roberts, a guy who knows a thing or two about a thing or two, thinks Kenny Omega better than Flair and Shawn Michaels. Did you see that report? What do you think of that?
I didn't see it, but you know what? Jake is entitled to an opinion because Jake Roberts was a great wrestler.
Yeah.
I got no problem with Jake. There again, that's having an opinion. I got no problem with that whatsoever because Jake Roberts is a great wrestler.
Yes.
Don Callis? I just took a Band-Aid off my hand. revealing a little tiny... It's that Don Callis on my hand.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'll tell you this, there's no debate and it's not our opinion.
But I got no problem with Jake saying that. And he very well could be. I've only seen Kenny wrestle about three times, but if I could see him a few more times, I can understand him saying that about me. I don't know about Shawn Michaels though. Like I said, I had a very limited repertoire. Obviously, Kenny can do all this great stuff, but I don't know. The Shawn Michaels thing, I ride that pretty hard. I told Shawn the other day, I said, I'm so tired of telling everybody the greatest of all time. He said, oh, I understand, low. But he is. If anybody would know, it would be me. I've wrestled with everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I've wrestled everybody, and I'm telling you, Shawn Michaels, he and Ricky Steamboat, Ricky just on the good side, but man, I'm telling you, smooth, ring general, could go both ways. I mean, you know, see, I've never seen Kenny as a heel. Has he ever been a heel?
Yeah, he's been a heel.
Has he really? I don't remember, but Kenny Omega is a great wrestler, make no mistake.
No doubt.
But Don Callis,
let's jump back into it. Uncle Jay, 89 wants to know what was the worst match of your career and why?
Oh gosh, it was, I had a lot of bad ones. I had a lot of stinkers. I can't think of just one. It would have been somewhere in the Kansas City territory wrestling against someone that hadn't wrestled an hour.
Yeah.
And that the list is too long to point out anybody. I mean, I can't even say they were passable. Some of them. I'm not going to lie. I'll tell you the truth. I've had some stinkers, trust me. And I don't want to point anybody out, but I just trying to think.
While you're thinking about
that, I can't name one person, but I trust me, I have had some stinkers.
Andre Chase, who is under contract to WWE as an NXT wrestler, wants to know what's his favorite match he ever had at the Greensboro Coliseum.
It would either be against Dusty, in one of the Starcades, or against Harley when Starcade 80,
83.
Yep. Yeah. Flair for the gold.
Absolutely. That was a big one.
But I mean, Dusty and I had some classics there. Because usually at Greensboro, I was usually in a singles match. But I mean, wrestling Sting and Luger. I mean, Steamboat. God, I just think Dusty and I, we did it together so long. We totally weren't afraid to use the blade. I mean, I really feel like he and I, it's like the Cody thing. I just have so much respect for Dusty, even though, man, we argued. Don't think we didn't argue, but that's got nothing to do with the word respect in terms of drawing money. I think guys that are on top are always going to have arguments or difference of opinion. But as far as drawing money, man, and having fun, man, we did it all. So I'd have to say Dusty Rhodes.
Man, that Starrcade 85, the gathering, that was big time stuff, man.
Yep. And that was all his shit too. He thought of all that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you think Michelle's not happy about Cody? Jesus Christ, she's got to be proud, huh?
Well, speaking of Cody, Chris wants to know if you could offer one piece of advice to Cody Rhodes right now, what would it be?
Something that his dad would say, you're on a lightning bolt, kid, don't get off.
Yeah.
Except the death, you'd say, he's
on a lightning bolt.
He's on a lightning bolt. While the rest are out back and laughing and a joking, you're out front cooking and a smoking.
Can you imagine how excited Dusty would be?
Oh my God. He's excited now. He's drinking a Crown Royal right now.
Marco.
Or a Coors Light for sure.
Marco on Twitter says, this is something I've wondered about many wrestlers. How does it feel to have mended fences with such people as Brett and Foley? Almost all of us have tried to do that with someone, but in your position, many people intentionally know of any tension and bad feelings. I can see how that would be exhausting, but also admire how someone with your reputation in the industry doesn't feel like he's above bearing the hatchet with your peers. Let's talk about mended fences. You have had some disagreements over the years, and then everybody sort of comes together in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
I think it goes with any profession. I mean, we just get more attention because of wrestlers, but I'm sure there are lawyers, doctors, people in business that don't get along.
Right.
For very jealousy. Like I say, everybody's got their own opinion. In our business, if you don't toot your own horn, sometimes it doesn't get tooted.
Yeah, that's a great call.
No, that's basically it. But it's, you know, Mick and I didn't book Mick Foley and Invader and that deal underground. It didn't work. That was Ole Anderson. So somehow he thought that I booked that. I had nothing to do with it. That's what started. And he wrote something in his book. And then I wrote something in mine. And then, but, you know, that's all going. And with Brett, I mean, Brett and I are like, I talk to Brett once every 2 weeks now.
Right.
Yeah. I told you last week, life is too short.
It is.
And for me in particular, because my daughter is active in the business. And if you don't think that's not heat, you're out of your mind. To see my daughter climb to the position she has in this business and be better than me all day long, actually the best performer in the company. If you don't think that's heat, it is. All my friends hate me for that.
Right.
Because they don't have it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Who's got the bragging rights?
Yeah.
And I'm 73 and who's bragging? And right. I'm pretty damn accurate about what I'm saying. It's heat.
Well, let's see.
Everybody's got a kid in the business that wants them to be something good. How many people does that happen to?
No, you're right.
It just doesn't. Not everybody's going to be as lucky as I am, but it's heat.
Well, you were lucky once upon a time, and Matt Cardona has a question about that. That's right. The former Zack Ryder chimed in with a question this week, and he wants to know, is the saying true? No hair, no flair.
I have no idea what he's talking about. Matt, I love you. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh.
Matt, I love it, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
Never heard of that. Yeah.
I never have.
Zach wants to know, does Rick have any stories to share about Franco's in Richmond and wrestling in Richmond and Norfolk, Virginia back in the day?
Oh my God.
Franco has shared some great stories of selling suits to Rick and other wrestlers in the 70s and 80s.
He sure did. I spent a fortune there. Franco's. Yeah, between Franco's and Michael's at Kansas City and Lynn at Taylor Richards and Charlotte and now Tom at Playmate. I mean, wow. I have spent some money on threads.
Yes, you have. Yes,
and I've tried to scale that down a little bit, but still, it's just the urge to have something new and something good to wear, especially around the business, because that's kind of like I watched Cody walk out last night, and totally opposite from his dad, because Cody likes that, he liked that gimmick of mine, which his dad was very open about telling me. He just looked like a businessman.
Yes,
coat and tie. I like that. I mean, I understand. Not everybody's going to like that look. But, I mean, I've seen Roman dressed up. Man, he's a handsome son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Period. But when Roman dresses up, man, he really looks like just a guy. He could be the president of a bank. He could be a model. I mean, Roman's that good looking. You know what I mean? But I also understand that that's not his gimmick. So, but being handsome is. But seeing Cody last night in that coat and tie. Yeah, hey. Roman's got no problem with the way he looks, man. He is a handsome dude.
No doubt.
Yeah, and he's been a great representative as being a face for the company, which I'm sure if Cody gets the ball, he will be too. They can have more than one face.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a Raw guy. You got to have a SmackDown guy. Yeah.
Yep.
Michael wants to know, when Ole was kicked out of the Horseman in storyline in 87, in your opinion, should there have been a big Ole and Arn feud? I think this would have been great, but would love to hear the man's thoughts. Thank you.
I don't think Ole wanted to wrestle anymore. Mm. I think that was talked about, but it would have been great, but I think Ole was just tired at that time. His son was wrestling in high school and he wanted to be able, you know, we all go through that where you want to be with your kids more often. And if you're in a position financially where you can walk away from it, which he was, he always saved his money, invested well. I just think he was tired of the business.
Mayor of Canton wants to know, who would you rather have be the first to get to 17 world championships? John Cena, Randy Orton, Charlotte, or maybe nobody surpasses 16.
Charlotte without even thinking.
Yeah.
I think it would make a statement heard around the world. She would overnight be as big as Serena Williams.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, she'd be recognized in that light.
Hmm.
I mean, I just think if they did that, because it's, you know, they're finally getting to the point where the women athletes are getting recognition. Well, women are getting more recognition, period, in business, in the business world, which is only fair. You know, you and I never, we never discuss stuff like that because we don't get into politics. But
right,
if Charlotte were to break our record, I mean, why not? Boy, I can tell you right now. I said it last week. We're not talking about a 2.5. We're talking about a 3.5. If me and Cena walk out and ring, and today she breaks the record, and it's very conceivable she could.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you know, a lot of people would be sitting on the sidelines taking a look and saying, hey, she can make Rhea here at WrestleMania. So if she drops the title, well, we're one closer now. Mm-hmm. Kent S on Twitter wants to know, what's Rick's measurement of a successful wrestling career? Money made, tickets sold, titles won, fans appreciation, a combination of multiple factors. Does he think other wrestlers would agree with him? So yeah, how do you measure a successful wrestling career, Rick?
Money made, accomplishments, and money drawn.
Yeah.
Real simple. It's what you did for the business, how much money you drew, for me personally, I think it would be the one category that's left out there is how many people have you made and made better for working with you, which is something people don't talk about. But I think that's a conditional remark to, I mean, as a, that should be factored in. But definitely tickets sold, you know, what they did for the company in that particular time frame that they represented it. I mean, yeah, there's like three or four common denominators, but definitely your accomplishments, what, how much money you drew. And then I also think that, and I just touched on it for a second, I think it's what you did to help other people get to get better and be in a better place in the business.
Well said. No context flair wants to know, can Rick explain just how good Barry Windham was to the untrained eye and what stopped him from becoming a top guy? Was it bouncing around from territory to territory? And if so, why did he never stick around in one place for more than 18 months?
Oh, I don't think anything. I mean, Barry was a 6'5", 255-pound Ricky Steamboat. You know, if Barry, I don't think people understand, Barry had a real bad knee injury.
Oh.
And that knee injury is what started to put weight back on him. And that's when his work style changed. I can't remember what year that was, but he had a pretty bad knee injury. And Barry had that gift. I mean, he didn't have to work out or anything. He just was that genetically gifted. But I mean, you know, his dad was a good hand, but Barry was special, man. Size. I mean, you can watch some matches with Barry and I, we just got in the ring and we, trust me, we did them everywhere from West Palm Beach to all through the Carolinas and Florida. Those are long hours, but with Barry, it was like just, you know, da, 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 just dancing away till it was time to go home. And then you could drink the most on the way home. I got up at 5:00 and Barry slept till noon. Now, he was great. I can't, and I just, I'm so happy to see Bray. I just saw Barry's sister the other day, Mike's wife, and Mike was there at the 30th anniversary, Mike Rotundo.
Yeah.
Barry's brother-in-law. So he's recovering. He is here in Tampa, but I need to go see him because someone had told me he was in Gainesville. He's here in Tampa. He's out what they call the compound. That would be the Bray Wyatt, Mike Rotundo compound.
Okay, how about that?
Bo's got a bunch of property out there. Bo's with Liv Morgan now. I think they're, are they married?
I don't think so. I think you're breaking news here today.
No, I said, are they? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I saw JoJo, Bray's wife. Yeah, they're a very happy family. I'm so glad Bray Wyatt's back. I'm a big fan of his.
Let's do one more, and then we'll put a button on today's show. This is a fun one. This is Senior Bravo. He wants to know, I always wondered if Nate had received offers to do a TV series or movies in recent times. I remember Baywatch and Body Slam back in the day, but if not, what series or movies would he like to be in?
I had a chance to do a movie, like a James Bond type movie with Orion Pictures back in the 80s, but the Crocker wouldn't let me do it.
What?
Yeah. Well, number one, I was probably making like $250 then, and I was a world champion. And to give that up to go to Hollywood, because, I mean, they weren't giving out $1 million guarantees back then.
Right.
It would have been fun. It was kind of like there's a movie made after it now, not with a wrestler, but it's kind of like the theme would be like my comic book.
Okay.
Undercover agent, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Rick, it's always fun catching up with you every day.
Thank you, man. I hope you feel better.
Hey, man, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm going to leave the house today for the first time.
When you get those woo-choos down, Miga, just come up here for the day. Give her two and she won't wake up for a day and a half anyway.
It'll be excellent. And when I wake up, when she wakes up, we'll both be in trouble.
Yeah, I don't remember Ric Flair drip. Woo.
RicFlairDrip.com. Who could forget? And RicFlairShop.com. Ric Flair Drip, of course, is expanding, getting new states all the time. I just saw you doing another opening for Mike Tyson last week. How fun was that?
Great. And man, he stole it. Well, my line drops here on Valentine's Day in Florida. Mike's dropped on last Friday. It was great. What a turnout, too. There's some people like marijuana in the state of Florida.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And everybody loves what you're doing over at RicFlairShop.com. It's the ultimate hookup for all of your Ric Flair swag. They got something for everybody. And I mean everybody. They got those giant tumblers that we like to drink out of, some really cool t-shirts. They even got baby bibs and coloring books and pillows and coffee mugs. It's RicFlairShop.com. And we'll be back next week taking your questions, bouncing around, talking about some different topics, and maybe one day soon, about the cowboy, Bill Watts, joining us here on the program, right here.
I'm going to reach out to Bill right now. I hope he's okay. But yeah, man, what a history. I mean, he can, you know, I'm the only NWA champion he ever used. And he paid me. Everybody said, oh, don't go there. Bill is screwy. I did an hour every night. I got to wrestle Terry Taylor, Butch Reed. I wrestled Terry Taylor, Butch Reed, Kerry Von Erich. I mean, just great talent, great times. Back then, I even traveled a couple of days with Rick Steiner and Steve Williams. That's the time frame when they were all there. So it was a great time. The Freebirds were there. It was a lot of fun. Bobby Sox and Holiday Inn in Little Rock, Arkansas, Conrad.
Wow.
Was the place to be.
Well, the place to be is here on YouTube every week. If you haven't seen our show,
leave out Dick Murdoch and Ted DiBiase, two of the all-time greats. Classic matches with those guys, yeah.
Keep up with us on Twitter. Follow us there. Ask us some questions at To Be The Man Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And be sure to check us out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/RicFlair. If you haven't hit the like button and the subscribe button, what are you waiting for? It's youtube.com/RicFlair. And we'll see you next week right here. Man.
So do you remember the angle where Murdoch interfered with wrestling Teddy?
Yes.
And we put him in the hospital.
Yes.
So I went to a club that night over in, I forget what they call it, right across the river. And I called DiBiase in the hospital with two chicks. I hope you're feeling okay.
Oh my God.
Me, I'm having a hell of a night.
Going 2 out of 3 falls across the bridge.
Woo! Yeah.